Today's opening tip. I caught Giannis in practice yesterday draining three after three after three. So many threes. Brian, how should upcoming Bucks opponents feel watching this video?
They should put this on in the hotel lobby, Rachel, just to scare everybody. Just have the Bucks put up a screen and get everybody sweating seeing them nail those
threes. I gotta tell you, there were more. At some point, I had to put the camera down and do other things. He was focusing so much on that yesterday. Welcome in to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I am here in Orlando with New York Times bestselling author, live from the Cobra Dome, Brian Windhorst. And later in the show, we're scheduled to be joined by six-time NBA champ Scottie Pippen. That's coming up. As well as coming up, we're going to talk a little Russell Westbrook. He is cleared and back at Rockets practice today. How quickly do the Rockets need their super athlete at full strength? We will discuss that. Also, the first scrimmage in Orlando is here. The Clippers and the Magic are tipping off in just moments. We are going to update you throughout the show with how that is going. Now, the Clippers do enter the game with some unfortunate news. Sources told our Malika Andrews last night that Patrick Beverley needed to exit the bubble for an emergency personal matter. He hopes to return soon. Remember, Montrezl Harrell also out of Orlando tending to a family matter, while Landry Shamet and Ivica Zubac, both reportedly not yet even with the team. Marcus Morris, at least, was just cleared for practice this week. Now, Brian, the Clippers are still second in the West. They're a game and a half above the Nuggets, who are also working around unavailable players. Utah, the Thunder, the Rockets, all right behind them. So, Brian, what do you think the impact of all of these growing absences are going to be on the Clippers, especially a vocal leader like Pat Bev?
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers took the floor for this scrimmage a few minutes ago with 10 bodies. I don't know how many of them are actually going to play today. You mentioned the Nuggets a minute ago. They're planning on scrimmaging today with 8 players. This is still very much a work in progress. And the thing about it is, Rachel, the Clippers spent the entire regular season trying to get to full strength. Obviously, Paul George was coming back from surgery at the start of the season. Then there were some injuries to some key players. Beverly had a couple of injuries. And while you've got to support the players who are coming back from illness and who are dealing with family emergencies, which are unforeseen, you know, this is another delay to them. And just after the All-Star break, they had started getting it going. They had their whole team together. They played the most impressive basketball of the season. I guess at the end of the day, they don't have to be 100% in full power until mid-August. But obviously, you'd like to have some continuity. And as you mentioned, that's going to be very hard to do.
Yeah, I saw Doc Rivers earlier today passing by. I teased him that he might have to play tonight. We'll see when they take the floor if that happens or not. Obviously, I think they would prefer, to your point about chemistry, they would prefer to get this machine going. But I do wonder, in an unusual situation like this, where this is a team that feels like it is going to be here for the full 3 months, players may be leaving now to attend to different family things that they wouldn't be leaving for if this was September or October. And that is not to say that these things are or aren't serious. They could be very serious, but they are things that maybe you would not leave an NBA Finals for, but you would leave if you're in the middle of an exhibition season. So I think there's a little bit of that going on with some of these players. Some of these guys probably would leave anyway, because there are certain things that happen in players' lives. They are human beings. And some things happen where you can't stay rooted in the same spot away from your family, unable to attend to matters that maybe in a normal season, you could just take off for practice for the day and come back and just have that be it. This is just such a different, unprecedented situation. There is a feeling here of they just got to get through it. And at least the Clippers have depth that some other teams don't have, although that depth is, of course, slowly being eaten away. I want to move on, guys, to Houston. Russell Westbrook cleared. Sorry, Brian, you're the only guys. We'll have to see if anyone's behind you in that gym. But Russell Westbrook cleared to practice this morning after finishing quarantine. The Rockets play their first scrimmage on Friday. He might not be ready by then, but he expects to be ready soon. Take a listen.
Just being home and being by myself for such a long period of time away from my family and my teammates and organization. So I'm definitely excited to kind of get back on there on the floor and get things rolling.
I think we'll wait the next two practices to see where he is, see if he wants, you know, wants to just be thrown out there real quick, or he wants another couple of days. Whatever he wants is cool. He knows his body. And, you know, again, we're not talking about just a normal athlete. We're talking about a super athlete.
I don't have a fear if I can make a layup at this point. I got to start there first. Once I start there, then I'll work my way from there.
Brian, I was at Rackets practice this morning, and I can vouch Russell Westbrook, shockingly, can still make a layup. So that's solved. That's good. But how quickly do you think that the Rackets need Russ at top condition with seeding games just over a week away? And we showed the standings there. The Rockets are in a seeding fight.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate thing we have to look at, but we just don't know how fast people recover from the virus. And we also can't really base it on other players because everybody's experience with it seems to be different. So it's just really difficult to project it. But I guess at the end of the day, the Rockets, you know, we're missing some players. They have them all back. Luke Richard Mbah Mbute is supposed to be joining them today. So they have another piece of reinforcement getting there. And again, Rachel, as long as you are hitting your stride by the time the playoffs come, which is mid-August, I guess they should be fine. You know, the seeding in the West is tight. They could lose a position or two if they have to play without Russell. But historically, Russell has rebounded from injuries and recoveries very fast. And I think that's attributed to the fact that he's an incredible athlete. I just don't know if that means anything coming back from the virus. I guess we'll all wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he told me that he tested positive right after 4th of July weekend. He wasn't feeling sick. He said he had a little bit of a stuffy nose. That was it. He told me he never would have thought that he was COVID positive if it had not been for the league's mandatory testing starting. So a really interesting window into how this testing is working, catching cases before players infect other fellow players. As for the Rockets, however, they do have confidence. I talked to PJ Tucker this morning as well, Brian. As you can imagine, the 4 months off did a world of good for his body because he has been getting so beaten up all season, playing against bigger guys and banging down low at his position. And the question of seeding doesn't sound like it's very important to this team. At least that's what they're saying. Do you think, Brian, the seeding in the West is going to be as significant this year if there's no home court or not home court and no fans in the stands?
In theory, no. But I would say that they would love to get a chance at the Lakers in the second round. If they could hang on to that 4 or 5 and get a team in the Jazz who they beat twice after going with their small ball, they like that matchup. They like how they can take Gobert out of the game. And then, you know, they did beat the Lakers. They were one of the few teams that actually got to the Lakers in the last couple of weeks before the shutdown because the Lakers were playing so well. I think they like where they are in the bracket right now. It's just so tight, and it's a matter of how it goes. And I agree with you. I think they're going to see teams not focused on seeding because home court is kind of irrelevant. But I do think that where they get seeded could affect where the Clippers or where the Rockets end up going in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's so interesting too, right? Because we saw the Nuggets try to make a bit of a seeding play last season. They won't acknowledge that, but it was pretty clear watching them play their final games. And that came back to bite them in the end. They didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals as they expected to. So sometimes it's a little bit of a matter of be careful what you wish for. But your point about the Lakers is a good one. And remember, that was right after the trade deadline. It was the debut, really, of the Rockets' micro-ball strategy. And you had that very, very specific visual of the tip-off of James Harden giving up several inches when he tried to go off for the jump ball at the beginning of the game. And yet, they won the game. And D'Antoni said afterward it gave them a lot of confidence. It will be interesting to see if they take that confidence into the playoffs. All right, coming up, Minnesota owner Glenn Taylor listening to offers for the team. What would it mean if Kevin Garnett was part of the group that purchased the Wolves? We're going to discuss that. First, though, we continue our countdown to the restart with the best plays of the season. We are 8 days away from the official first real game that counts. So here's number 8 from, you know, former Timberwolf himself.
Here we go. To go home happy. Oh my goodness gracious! It's all over here in Houston. What a shot by Bielitsa.
Pack them up, but they're already home and send them home. Nates,
they are stunned here in Houston.
The Jump is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com.
The WNBA returns Saturday from Florida. Sue Bird and the Storm take on number one pick Sabrina Ionescu and the Liberty at noon on ESPN. Then at 3 Eastern on ABC, the Sparks take on the Mercury. And checking back in with the Clippers and Magic scrimmage, ladies and gentlemen, the opening tip, and thank the powers that be, basketball is back. This is just, does my heart good, I'm not gonna lie, this is amazing. They did a really good job with the arena, making it not feel like they're playing in an empty gym. It's just, it is a lot of people's work that went into this moment, and it's not, you know, the real games yet or anything like that, but I think it is worthwhile to point out what an endeavor this was, and the fact that they made it to this moment is so significant. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm back here with Brian Windhorst. Scottie Pippen is scheduled to join us soon. And Brian, it's not just these two. As 22 teams rev up for this season in Orlando, we also have some action from a team that isn't in the bubble. They are considering a major move. Glenn Taylor, who has owned the Timberwolves for the last 25 years, says he is listening to offers to sell the team. And one of those interested parties? A group featuring the greatest player in franchise history, Kevin Garnett. KG tweeted, quote, "My passion for the Minnesota Timberwolves to be a championship team is well known, but I have a deeper affection for the city of Minneapolis. I once again want to see Minneapolis as the diverse and loving community that I know it is. No two people love the city more than myself and Glenn Taylor, and I look forward to trying to work with him to achieve my dream." Now, Brian, I will say that is the nicest thing I have heard KG say about Glenn Taylor in years. Remember, Garnett believed that Taylor would sell him the team, both him and former Wolves coach Flip Saunders, before Flip's untimely passing, and it caused a very deep schism between the two. Now, there are also several potential buyers for the Minnesota franchise, including, according to our Adam Schefter, the Wilf family, who own the Vikings. But Brian, if KG did become the next former player to own a team, what would that mean, not just for Minneapolis, for Minnesota, but for the league?
Might not have been the best idea for KG to say he doesn't do business with snakes, talking about Glenn Taylor just a few months ago. Not the best time to come in and ask for your bid to be accepted. Okay, so the reality here is that KG and his group are behind. I'm not even sure who the main money is in KG's group. We've had at least three other groups submit some level of interest or a bid, so he's behind. It's not done yet, but he's behind. The thing about KG is he would only be a bit owner if his group got selected. It's also not impossible he couldn't join one of the groups that has already made a bid. But the real question is, how much does Kevin Garnett want to be involved? He has not shown an interest in being in a front officer and coaching. He's done television since his retirement. Since he won't be the owner and controlling the finances, the primary owner, the way he would impact it is if he was working in the front office or in some role like that, and he hasn't done that. So it's hard to know. I would say it's very unlikely that he becomes a significant owner piece here. But I do think his desires mean something, especially for a team that, quite frankly, has had trouble connecting with that fan base as they've made one playoff appearance in the last 15 years.
I hear what you're saying, and certainly I agree. Normally, guys in this position aren't coming in as the primary owner. Michael Jordan, of course, is the exception. But I have to think that someone of his stature in the game, someone with his voice, his leadership, if I'm the NBA, I am talking to Glenn Taylor about making a push to have Kevin Garnett involved. I think it is very good for the league overall to have some of their former players be able to buy into some of these teams, have a more diverse group of ownership, because we all know what the Board of Governors looks like right now, and the NBA has the desire to do better, to have a group that is more diverse, but they have to have teams sell. There has to be more opportunity, and if a team is going on the market, I would imagine that this is something that is in the league's interest to have him have a voice. So whether it's with a group that he already has, whether it's joining one of the groups you already mentioned, I think that it would be in everyone's interest, despite the snake comments and so many comments, Brian, in the past, to have these guys work together for the good of the league. And even if he wasn't involved in front office decisions, because KG is a guy who knows you leave basketball to the people who knew how to do each one of those particular basketball jobs best, I still think that the leadership he could show in a front office as a part owner would be so significant. Now, as we go to break, We are not only monitoring the Magic Clipper scrimmage, we are also monitoring all the different players who are speaking here in Orlando, several continuing to use their platform, particularly during their media availability. Just in the past 48 hours, we've had Tobias Harris, Marcus Smart, CJ McCollum, Sterling Brown, so many others use their voice specifically to demand justice for Breonna Taylor's death. And I want you to hear this. This is all really, really important and really powerful. Take a listen.
Before we start, guys, nothing against the t-shirts.
I'll start by saying
my answer is going to be justice for Breonna Taylor.
We want to make sure that Daniel Cameron will arrest the cops.
We want to continue to uplift people like Breonna Taylor who are victims and haven't received the proper justice that they are due.
Like I said, justice for Breonna Taylor.
Yeah, that's all I got to say.
You know, basketball is secondary. It's our job, obviously.
My answer is going to be justice for Breonna Taylor. That's my answer to every question.
Daniel Cameron needs to, you know, he has to have pressure on his office 24/7. So make sure y'all go out there and support, you know, Breonna Taylor and her family.
It's also our job to fulfill and protect our neighborhoods and protect the people that look like us and come from places like us and don't exactly have the same voices that we do.
And that's the only message I got today. Appreciate everybody. Thanks.
Saturday on ABC, a special two-hour NBA countdown to preview the seeding games, as well as how the association as a whole has responded to the social justice movement. Maria, Jalen, Jay, even Paul Pierce. Saturday, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. All right, we got another update from Clippers Magic. Yes, who scored the first NBA bucket since the restart? That would be Vucevic launch. There it goes. Joakim Noah starting for the Clippers. We mentioned at the top of the show, they're having some depth issues right now. And Paul George doing Paul George things. It is so nice to see basketball back. And guess who else is back? Six-time champion, Hall of Famer, Scottie Pippen. Our technical difficulties are over. You're back with us, Scottie, for the rest of the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now we've got a little crunch time here on The Jump. You can hop right in, Scotty. I want to let everyone know that CP3, Melo, and Dwayne Wade jointly announced the start of the Social Change Fund on Tuesday. The goal is to address socioeconomic injustice issues facing both Black and Brown communities. So, Scotty, what excites you most about seeing more and more players really acting on their beliefs for change?
Well, Rachel, I think it's great. You know, I think, you know, as a player that played in the NBA, it's an unbelievable platform. And I think this moment for these players to be able to use this platform to rise, everyone is looking for that type of leadership, someone to look up to. And I just think it's phenomenal what these young players have been able to do collectively. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has really shown a lot of brotherhood in our league. And I could even go as far as saying that was something that wasn't in the game, obviously, as we knew in the late 80s and even into the 90s. So what these players are doing right now and how they're trending, it's amazing. And I take my hat off to what their leadership has been for.
Yeah, it really is so impressive. I also want to give a special shout out to Pacers guard Malcolm Brogdon. He started the Brogdon Family Fund as well this week. He's already done so much important work bringing water to people who don't even have fresh and clean water. It is impressive across the board what the men who make up this league do, the women of the WNBA as well. Makes you proud to come to work every day. All right, guys. At the beginning of the show, we saw Giannis's three-point shot looking better than ever. And that may have come as a surprise because during the hiatus, the reigning MVP said in his first shutdown media availability that he didn't have a hoop at home to practice on. He may have left some important information out. He told us last night. Take a look.
So anybody out there that thought that I didn't have access to a gym, you know, they don't really know me. So I just said that, you know, tried to get a little bit ahead of the competition.
Brian, how do you feel about Giannis stretching the truth there to gain a competitive advantage?
Rachel, I think as a player, you have to always be working, but you know, while the enemies are sleeping, you have to also be preparing to attack. And I think that's what we're seeing in Giannis, is a guy that's, you know, he's always working. He knows he has a lot of work to do before his game is complete, but he also wants to win a championship, and that's why we see him putting extra work in.
Well, Rachel, there goes Giannis's credibility. We can never believe anything he ever says again. Also, Chris Middleton said he hadn't picked up a ball for several months, and I hear he's killing it in practice, so maybe Chris Middleton was telling fibs too. Maybe the Bucks were laying in wait.
Absolutely. Look, Giannis said when he walked off the podium last night, he goes, please, like, I wouldn't be shooting, like, I wouldn't be working out. People know me. Give you a quick Zion Williamson update, too. The Pelicans have just announced that he is indeed getting daily testing outside the bubble. NBA rules says that if a player does get that, he only has to quarantine for 4 days when he returns, so we will wait on that. Real basketball is back in a scrimmage, but still, we'll see you tomorrow.